If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Come on. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John live inside the drum room, inside the Hilton President Hotel, my headquarters the last couple of days for the WHB 100-year anniversary celebration, and it'll be my headquarters for the next couple of hours, especially when I go back to the breakfast buffet at the Walnut Room. Delicious, if my kids ever wake up from their hotel room. So, but thank you so much to the President Hotel. And if you're looking for a place to stay, you're going to be doing something downtown, just want a quick getaway, this is the place, the President Hotel. And don't forget about the drum room. Great place for happy hour. Does your son ever come over to the drum room for happy hour, Granny?
I'm sure he does, right across the street. And your daughters and your two boys, it was great to see them last night. It's amazing how grown up the twins are getting.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see them. And then you're obviously your beautiful wife. It was a good time last night. And, you know, we were just talking. And for, you know, anybody who missed it, just wait. We'll do it again in 100 years. Frank Bohl called me this morning and said, I'm not sure I'll make it for the next one. I said, I don't think I'll make it for the next one either. But
you're not mad at me?
Why? Why would I be mad at you?
Because of the joke I told about you.
No, about how I think I'm the best. I always think
that was that was great because so I was watching, you know, I wanted to get some roast jokes. So I like to I'm a huge fan of Don Rickles,
right.
And I was lucky enough to see him in concert before he passed away when he came to Kansas City, and I love and I watch you know when I've got some free time. I like to watch the old the Dean Martin roasts,
sure.
Right? And I love there's a documentary is it on Netflix? I can't think about Don Rickles, just fantastic, one of the comedic greats, right? And so he would always tell that one little zinger, and I was it was the I think it was the tribute to Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese.
And he goes, he goes Robert De Niro, yeah. Great actor. Just ask him. He'll tell you. And so that's why I go, Tim Grunhardt here. Greatest center in Chiefs history. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
I loved it.
And so, see, I was inspired. See, you know what? I kid because I love. I love you. See?
I'm just glad that I was brought up. You know what? Talk or the speech or the jokes, that means you've made it. So I'm glad. Yeah, thank you so much.
That's what right. I tell myself, because every single person at 810 made fun of me while they were on stage.
Yeah.
And Roger Espinosa came up to me afterwards and said, how come everybody here makes so much fun of you? And I said, well, it's, you know.
Because
we got to play our part, man.
Roger Espinosa was so what's going on here? What happened?
It was funny too because those guys, the sporting guys, afterwards said, "Dude, I've never seen you nervous before. You were nervous when you got up on stage." And I said, "Every childhood sports hero that I had was in the audience. That's not typical. Like, I'm not used to that." And when it really hit me, I mean,
you probably talked to every one of them.
I don't know. It was just like, well, this is the thing too. What you said about you thought Chad was crazy when he told you he wanted to pull this thing off.
Yeah.
I remember us sitting in the conference room the first time he brought it up and kind of looking around at everybody like, man, this is what he's talking about is a big idea. You know, this is a big idea that's going to be very difficult to pull off. And then there we were yesterday. Steven's going through the script run through and everything. All of a sudden, I get a text from my wife. She's outside, and it's just the VIP part, you know, where the VIP, you know, entrance is happening, and she's like, the line's two blocks long.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, well, shoot, should I go get some of these guys and bring them in through the side door? Mm-hmm. So I go outside, and I'm like, every person in this two block line is a celebrity, is a sports star from Kansas City.
And who do you think was the most pissed off person in that line?
Stephen St. John Sr.
Oh, let me tell you. let me tell you. I got my and I told him, I said, stay with Susan and the kids, and I'm gonna get them in on a side door, and I did. But he didn't. He was off talking to Whitlock. He was talking to him, you know, telling, he gets in story mode, right? And he's talking and everything else. And so then Susan, I go, where's my dad? They go, we lost him. He's talking. He's over there talking to someone. So, boy.
Yeah, you know,
I said, I'm not going to be doing anything. I'm backstage. I started getting line long. And he does the four question marks. So I know he's mad on the text. And then I don't answer him. And then just a text of five question marks. And then the call. There's a long line out here. I go, I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. So then he just got out of the line and just walked in the door and ignored everyone, ignored security. Like he couldn't hear. You know, he's got the hearing aid. And he turns it off anyway, so he really can't hear you half the time. And he just walked through. And he comes walking in there, and he was hot. And then he settled down, and I got him some Garozos, and I got him a nice drink, and he was okay, and he was good. But, boy, let me tell you something. My dad and long lines do not mix. When I was a kid, if there was a long, we would leave. We'd leave. So I go, Dad, why can't we say the line's too long?
That's the way I am, too. I'm the same way. I was in line, and I was way in the back. There was a little entertainment there. Somebody was getting arrested in their underwear. Three policemen standing around him.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the guy was, you know, it's not funny, but the guy was in a bad way. But he kept looking up, and I think he's like, isn't it Tim Grunhart? And they look up and goes, is that Warren Moon? Wow. And he's like, you know, how would you like to be like some like guy? And then like all these people that you probably have seen on TV or know from, because, you know, a guy, I'm sure that he's a sports fan. And he looked up and there's Jeff Chedia. He looked up. There's Jeff Montgomery. Trent Green. Hey, how you doing? It was rather entertaining. But had a great time. You know, Steven, you know, really, it was so cool. I'm sorry that Coach Snyder couldn't make it. I guess he, you know, had some issues with his flight or something. But I was sat right next to Gary Pinkel, and what a gentleman he is. I love Gary. Coach Leipold, right. Lance Leipold was there. Was able to say hello to him, and then Bill Self was just so accessible. You know, the national championship basketball coach was out bouncing around with everybody, and then you know some of the current Royal players were there. It was really, really cool. It was a great time had by all. So it was good. So, but, you know, we got to go on. You know, we had our 100-year birthday party, and now we have to go on. And the Kansas City Chiefs heading to Chicago. And I don't know if you guys heard, but, you know, I have a buddy. Actually, it's Cassie's roommate from SLU. Her father is involved over at Soldiers Field. And I texted him after an article yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this article, that the field is just trash. It's just trash. And they can't figure out why that is. I mean, nobody's been on it really since last year. And so they're having some issues.
They play the soccer games there. You know, those little soccer guys
being
torn up.
Maybe the damn soccer guys tore it up. We used to say that all the time. Keep those soccer guys off
our field.
Those
little 150-pound soccer guys tearing the field up.
But they're having some issues. And Cairo Santos, of all people, who never, ever says anything negative. If you ever met Cairo Santos, I mean, he is like the most positive guy, really nice person.
Great guy.
And he's like, yeah, this field, I've seen better. He said, you know, I was practicing at the park, the Chicago Park District fields, and they're better than Soldiers Field right now. So Soldiers Field having some issues, which makes me a little bit nervous. You know, the game tomorrow at noon. You know, I hope that the field isn't where somebody twists an ankle or sprains a knee or something.
You just made my stomach upset.
I know,
right
me
now.
Too.
Yeah,
well, that's why I brought it up, because, Yeah, so there's, you know, there's some issues with the field. So I would, if I was a head coach, I would keep certain guys off that field completely. Maybe they got it straightened out and rolled it or whatever. I don't know. But that's something for you guys to watch tomorrow and see how this field holds up over at Soldiers Field. The game at noon, which is going to be a hot, hot day in Chicago. I was talking to some of my insiders about the offensive line. And obviously, they love their starting unit. They love their starting unit, including the right tackle. They're happy with Wiley and the way he's performed. Kennard is a work of progress, man. He's a work of progress. I heard you guys talking about him a little bit earlier. That you know he's working at it, but he's got a long way to go. So that doesn't mean that he's a bust. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good player eventually. I thought last year with Humphreys and Smith, we got spoiled because those are two rookies. It's hard to play as a rookie in the NFL, especially on the offensive line. There's just so much going through your brain. There's so many different schemes, so many different plays, so many different things you have to deal with that a lot of times you have paralysis by analysis, and you know, so you start to hesitate, and when you hesitate in the NFL, you lose. Free agencies, Caliendo and Gurman are tough guys. They like them. Probably going to be on the practice squad. But the big battle is for that swing tackle right now, and that's with Christian and Johnson. They have redeeming qualities, according to this guy, but they're watching those two. So those are the two guys that, you know, if you're going to look for a battle, you got Jerron. Is it Jerron? Isn't it Jerron Christian?
Jerron Christian.
And then Roderick Johnson.
Yep. He was the one that was working with the ones when Orlando Brown was out.
He was. Those are the two guys that are battling for position. They said, Allegretti, solid backup, going to be on the team. You know, he could play center, he could play both guards, and hell, if you probably put him out of tackle, he'd find a way to get something done out there. They're happy with him. But the big battle, really, over the next two games will be for that swing offensive tackle position. They feel really good about their starters. And they feel good about, you know, finding some quality backups. They're probably going to keep nine. And, you know, so Kennard is one. They're going to obviously keep him. They're going to find a swing tackle, Allegretti, and then they're going to have to find one more.
Where does Kennard fit right now? Because I had really high hopes for him when they drafted him, but it seems like he's not getting much buzz in camp.
Yeah, he's, you know, like I said, he tries hard. He's working at it. He's just not there yet. He's just not quite where they need. And one of the things that we talked about here, guys, when they drafted him, and everybody said, hey, you got to put him out at right tackle. He's going to start at right tackle. And he's a mauler. He's a big physical guy. But he has a little bit of Orlando Jones-esque. And what I'm saying, Orlando Jones is an elite football player. Okay, he's a great football player. But the one thing Orlando Brown does a little bit is he waistbends. He's a little top heavy. And when he gets his hands on you, it's over. I mean, he is a big, physical, tough manster out there. I mean, he is...
He's a manster.
He's as good as anybody. He's a manster.
I've heard that phrase. I like that.
When he gets his hands on you, it's over. But he's got to get his hands on you. Let's look at the other side now. Let's look at Kennard. Kennard has a little bit of that, but he's not as physically strong and as physically dominant when he gets his hands on a guy as Orlando Brown is. Yet. But he's got some of the same things. He's just a little bit aggressive with his shoulders and his hands. When you're aggressive with your shoulder and your hands, your head goes down a little bit. And when your head goes down a little bit in the NFL at the offensive line position, you're done. So here's the things I want you guys to watch when you watch Kennard. Number one, is on pass protection. Is he keeping his head out of it? Okay? So when you punch, I always tell my offensive linemen this over at Miege. I did a KU2. You remember that little, there used to be a little like a bird thing that would fill up with red fluid on the bottom and it would pop up.
Yeah.
And the thing, you know, would always kind of rotate and when things popped up. And that's what you have to be like as a pass protector. As soon as you get full on the bottom, your head's got to go back. And as a pass protection.
Did that bird have a top hat on or something?
I think it did. I think it's not a helmet, but it was a top hat. But. The dynamics of that is what you have to have as an offensive lineman. When your hips go down and your hands go out, your head's got to go back. It is just so important. I can't really think about anything else in sport that is so pivotal to be successful with. You cannot be leaning with your head forward when your hands go forward. As an offensive lineman, you're going to get beat. And I think he's got a little of that going. Also, I think that the offense and Andy Reid's offense and some of the things that Andy Reid does, once again, I want to go back to that same line, paralysis by analysis. I think he's thinking a lot and thinking too much. But what I want you to watch is, first of all, his pass protection, his head stay out of it. And number two, in the run game, when he gets his hands on guys, is he finishing? A lot of times in college, you can get away with kind of just kind of leaning on a guy and getting your hands on a guy, and you'll have success. In the NFL, if you do that, they're going to shed you every time. So those are the two things you want to watch. Is his head staying out of his pass protection? And number two, in the run game, when he's attacking guys, attacking a play side shoulder, or he's cutting off and getting up on a backer, or whatever he's doing in the run game, is he finishing guys, getting his hands on guys? Is he in good football position? Because if your legs and your feet are tight together, they're going to shed you. And that's one of the things that he struggled with a little bit in camp. Just little things that he's got to get straightened out. He's working hard at it. I think they like him. But he's a long way. He's got some things to correct. So when you guys were talking, you're like, well, why isn't this? He just isn't quite there yet. And that's okay. You know, he may be put into action. I promise you, when Tim Grunhart and Dave Zott started playing as rookies, there was a point where we were a little bit hesitant, a little bit out of sync a little bit. And as the season progressed, because we had to, we were able to pick that up. But that's where he's going to have to get to, because he's going to probably get put into a situation where he's going to have to play. And if he does, that's when we'll see where this guy's at. But right now, he's just learning the system, and he's trying to catch up mentally, and then physically he'll be able to catch up later.
We have Tim Grunhard on the line. Timmy, I wanted to ask you about the defensive line. Because I think that's going to be interesting to see how that develops. We know that George Karlaftis, there's a lot of expectations on him as a first-round pick. Frank Clark has been in camp, has been in great shape. He's looked good so far, but that's just camp. He's got to do it in games. Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi will be the starters. After that, Mike Dana, he's going to be on the team. Carlos Dunlap's going to be on the team. Tershawn Wharton's going to be on the team. I thought Colin Saunders has looked good. I like him for a spot. But then after that, Josh Kando, all the physical gifts in the world, so hasn't done much on the field, but they like him. Malik Herring is an undrafted free agent that they talked a lot about. I think he has a shot. They like Taylor Stallworth, an inside guy, but he's a little bit banged up. They signed Danny Shelton this week, the guy that started, I think, 75 games in his NFL career, so he has a wealth of experience.
Is he the kid from Detroit?
Big run stopper, in the middle. Mm-hmm. How do you see this this playing out? Do you like the depth? What do you think of now this rebuilt defensive line since they've added Karlaftis, they've added Carlos Dunlap, and they bring in Danny Shelton to give some competition? Maybe he makes the team. What are you looking at here?
You know what? Every year I say that, man, I really like the two deep on the defensive line for the Chiefs, and every year I'm kind of disappointed when it kind of comes into reality and when we're watching the games. It seems like sometimes some of those guys, the backups, start to disappear. You know, Kalen Saunders, I thought last year in camp, looked great. Started out pretty hot, and then he kind of disappeared, whether it was injuries or just, I don't know, he just flamed out a little bit. I really, and Kando, I agree with you on Kando. He's going to make the team. He's a work in progress. It'll be interesting to see if he can make some moves and find a way to upgrade his game a little bit. And we'll see if the arrow's pointing up on him. Karlaftis, they love him. I think we've kind of hit it on the head what kind of guy he is. He's an overachiever. He reminds me of Crosby with the Raiders. And, maybe not as talented, but what he gives up in talent, he puts in an effort. And like Marty would say all the time, man, it's the 6 inches between your breastbone and your backbone that I'm measuring right now in these games. And he's got a lot of heart. And I think that's going to help this team.
Marty almost sounded like Lou Holtz there for
and
a minute.
I know. It started as a Lou Holtz, and then I was like, that's not – it did start – yeah, thank you for pointing that out. As far as Dunlap, guys like that, If you're a 275 hitter or a 250 hitter in Major League Baseball and you start batting at 125, eventually you get up to the mean. You're going to get to about 250, 275 because that's what you are. And that's when we have a Carlos Dunlop. He's going to get his six sacks. I'm hoping, you know, 8 to 10 would be great, but 6 to 8 is where he's going to be. And that's going to help this football team. Frank Clark, he made some good life decisions in the offseason. I think he has straightened out some things that he needed to straighten out. And this will be an interesting year for Frank. This is a make-or-break year for Frank Clark. Everybody out there, Andy Reid addressed this after the season, said, listen, you know what? You're not doing some of the things we know you can do. So you better figure out why you're not, whether it's physical, mental, or social. You need to figure out how important this is to you. And it looks like he did. You know, it looks like he's in great shape. And I think Frank Clark can have a breakout year if he can hold serve and stay with the motivation and the life changes he's made. I think that he can really have a great year. We know what we have with Jones in the middle. He's a dominant football player. I think that Carlos Dunlop and Carl Loftus and Clark starting to flash a little bit will help him. Because if you're an offensive line coach, I thought the last 2 years, you said, okay, Frank Clark, he's going to work hard. He's going to run around the corner. But we're not worried about him sacking the quarterback because, you know, I mean, he gets them. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying he's a poor football player, but what I'm saying is, as an offensive line coach and an offensive coordinator, you're not turning the protection to block Frank Clark. You feel like, hey, listen, one-on-one, he may get around there every once in a while, but we're going to be okay. We need to have a guy that offensive coordinators and offensive line coaches worry about out there that say, hey, listen, we've got to find a way to chip with him, which takes a guy out of the routes. Whether it's a back or a tight end, or we're going to turn the protection to that guy. And when you do that, then you give the guys inside an opportunity to have success. Because when you're being double teamed, we always called it 600 on 300. If you have 600 pounds on 300 pounds, that 600 pounds is going to win every time. All right? And I think that's what's happening with Chris Jones, is he's getting double teamed all the time in pass protection and run game. And we got to take a little bit of pressure off him and give him an opportunity to have some success with just a single block. And you're not going to have that until you have somebody threaten you on the outside.
Give me the soccer alarm, Marco, because I thought of an analogy actually last week when we were talking about Dunlap.
Yeah.
And how he knows his stats, right? Remember, like, he was quoting his stats. He knows how many sacks he's got. He knows how many averages per year and all this stuff. And I was also listening to Petro's conversation about pressures versus sacks and how the Chiefs are kind of wanting to take credit for all the pressures they've gotten the past year, but they didn't get any sacks. And we saw in the Bengals game in the playoffs that there's a huge difference. We can say that pressures are good, but the sack is really the thing. And it made me think about, like, Sporting Kansas City has really struggled because they lost their goal scorer this year. And you always talk when you lose a soccer game about, man, we created the chances. We played good soccer. You know, we got into good, you know, positions to score. We just, our luck wasn't with us today or something like that. Goal scorers, I just realized, pass rushers are the goal scorers of football. You have to be a little selfish. It's a team game, but the goal scorers, the great ones in soccer, they know how many goals they got. And if their team wins but they didn't get a goal, they're still kind of pissed when they walk off the field because they feel like, this is my job. And the analogy goes even further because I was thinking about Carl Loftus versus other guys. Some guys score goals by just outworking everybody around them. They might not be the most clinical finishers. They might not be the most talented guy, but they're just going to get on the end of every ball that falls in the penalty area. And if they get 10 chances, one of them's going in, damn it. And those guys, there are guys that have made hundreds of millions of dollars by just willing themselves into a bunch of goals, right? And then there's other guys that are just so quick and fleet-footed and skilled that they just dribble around guys and score. And you see that with some pass rushers, their get-off is just so explosive. The Von Millers of the world or whatever, that Derek Thomas, they turn the corner so fast, they're just elite at their skill, so they get to the quarterback. But then there are also guys who get 15 sacks. I feel like Jared Allen was kind of like this. You know, he was athletic and everything, but he just was going to get a freaking sack. Yeah, you know, he's just relentless. And I feel like that's kind of what Karloftis could be for this team.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. And I can't believe that I'm saying that about a soccer analogy. But I want to bring it to everybody that's out there that has you've been in the nightclub, you've been at the bar. All okay. right. Well, you got the one good looking guy that all the girls want to be around, right? Okay? And that guy's he's gonna score.
Clearly all of us
he's
were those guys.
Score.
That was all
and
of us.
And then there's
right
guys there. And then there's
Would
guys
you stop talking about me.
Yeah.
And then there's guys
about me.
And then there's guys like us back in the day that you have to ask 100 girls and maybe one says yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So volume you gotta work shooter, really hard at it, and you gotta get every chance in the world, and you gotta keep working at it. And I think Carlos Dunlop's a little like that good-looking guy. He's, you know what, he knows how to get to the quarterback. And, you know, so I'm being funny, but the reality of the situation is sack guys have a knack to bring the quarterback down. There's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of defensive ends out there that are really fast. There's a lot of defensive ends out there that get around the corner or they can get a great move, but they don't sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, these quarterbacks now, they're big physical guys and they're very athletic. It's not like you're going up and trying to sack Dan Marino anymore. And I'm not ripping Dan Marino, but Dan Marino wasn't going to make anybody miss in there.
Joe Burrow's that size and can move.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's the same way. He's a big physical guy. And, you know, so there's a lot of guys who just can't bring the quarterback down. That's why this whole "wow, we're getting pressures" thing is a big thing now. Everybody talks about, well, yeah, you know, they're getting rid of the ball so fast, and that's not exactly true. I think there's just guys that just don't really particularly know how to get the quarterback down. There are guys that have a knack to do it, and I think Carlos Dunlap has proven over the years with 95 sacks in 11 years, averaging over 6 sacks a year, is a guy that understands it. And guess what? Spags said that. He says, you know, some guys just have a knack for it. You know, some guys just have that want to. And I think it's more than that. I think just guys have a really good idea of how to sack the quarterback. And then there are guys that have a really good idea how to pressure the quarterback. And hopefully this year we have more sack guys than pressure guys. And I think in the past we've had more pressure guys than sack guys, if that makes sense.
And so the comp you want to look for George Karloftis is Ryan Kerrigan, because he's talked about him being a mentor, and they both went to Purdue, so they've had a lot of conversations. He's worked with him, and when George Karloftis was asked about that, like, you know, is there a guy that you compare yourself to or you've modeled yourself after, he said Ryan Kerrigan. And, and if he has that kind of career, we're high-fiving for the next several years. He started off, you know, 7.5 sacks, 8.5, 8.5, 13.5, 9.5, 11, 13, 13, and then his career winded down, 5.5, 5.5, ended up with 95.5 career sacks. If Karloftis comes anything close to that, then that's a hell of a first-round pick, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is another guy, okay, there's certain things you want to watch in preseason games. The game is not one of them.
Yeah, right.
All right? Nobody wants to watch the game. Don't watch the game. The game's horrible. But watch some of these guys that you want to see what their skill set is, how they finish plays. As a coach, you're looking at, okay, number one, is it too much for him mentally? If it's too much for you mentally now, it's not going to get any easier. So you're watching, is he having mental errors? Is he having misassignments? Does he know what he's doing out there? Is he communicating? Is he hesitating? Is he jumping off sides? Little things like that. And then number two, you just want to see if he's got some dog in him, right? Does he got dog in him? Is he going to finish plays? Is he going to go and chase things down? Is he going to make that catch over the middle and not be afraid about getting cut in half? That's what you want to, that's another second thing you want to see. And then the third thing you want to see is how competitive is he? All right? How competitive is he? Frank Bull just came in here.
He's got a red scarf. Yeah. He's got the Elvis scarf. Did you pick that up off the floor?
Never getting it back.
Yeah, get over here, man.
Wise men say only fools rush.
You know what? I am so mad, too. I am so mad because I had a zinger for Steven. You know, Steven was roasting all of us and everything, and I had one for him when he did that, and I was so nervous I forgot to do it because after he did his Elvis thing, I wanted to walk out on stage and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can all agree I hope to God that Elvis has left the building. And I didn't do
that
it.
Been
I
good.
Blew it.
You slapped me.
So I did slap you in the face.
Now that I've been rudely interrupted by Frank Ball, I just
your train of thought is really tough to interrupt.
I know it is. Thanks, Frank. Hey, by the way, Frank's favorite part of that whole program was the violin dancers. I mean, he just kept staring out there, and me and John Holmes were sitting next to each other, and his mouth was open, and his eyes didn't move an inch. And I'm like, Frank, you okay? I thought he fell asleep for a second, but he was staring so much, and then he looked, turned around, and he goes, I'm not dead.
No, I said, I'm old.
I'm old, but I'm not dead.
That's right.
He did enjoy that part of it.
Not really. I was trying
I don't
to figure
think that's
out what
they're
that
called.
Was.
Are they called the violin dancers? Is that their official title?
Sure, that's exact title. No. Hey, Frank, before you leave, can I want you to answer a question. Which of the 100 years has been your favorite to listen to?
I can't hear St. John. I don't want to hear St. John.
He said, what period of the 100 years was your favorite part to listen to? Because you've been around listening to HB since the beginning.
Well, no, I invented radio. Without me, you guys would not be on the air
Frank Marconi.
Frank Marconi is here.
Francisco Marconi.
Frank was saying, back when I was living in Pittsburgh, I had this can and a string that reached out to Italy.
Yeah,
that,
me and Marconi.
Him and Marconi were communicating. I'm going to pass it on to you, Frank, because I have a golf match. I do, too. Well, you're playing with this guy.
I know.
I know. That's awesome.
There's going to be a lot of cursing and swearing going on at that golf course. That's the end of that club membership.
I get to listen to my dad bitch about the course conditions for 4 hours.
I gave WHB till 11:30 last night, and now I'm having my time now. Okay. I'm going to have my time.
You go have your time.
But
good luck in your match today.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think, real quick? Bears game. Who are you looking to watch? And I want to see Pacheco at running back.
Yep.
I want to see Kennard play an offensive line. I want to watch a little bit of the defensive ends. I want to see how Kando is playing, and I want to see how Karloftis is playing. I'm not too particularly worried about Frank Clark or Chris Jones or anything. I do want to Cook, the safety. I want to watch him. And wide receiver, I want to see how the kid that we just drafted.
Sky Moore.
I want to see how Sky Moore plays. I want to watch how these – they're talking about there's six to eight rookies that are going to have a splash in the beginning of the season. I want to see how those guys compete in Chicago tomorrow. That's what I'm watching for. What are you watching for, Steven?
You know, I think he's going to make the team, and it's not that he's going to be a star, but one of the best players in camp has been this, Justin Watson. And Mahomes loves him. Dave Tobe loves him. Everyone loves him. Dave Tobin said, if we're looking for a guy that I know is going to catch a punt, he'll catch it. May not do something with it, but he'll catch it. But Mahomes has commented on his speed, on his hands. He's a 4-year guy. He's played in Tampa, but maybe he comes here and takes advantage of an opportunity and becomes a nice complimentary receiver. He's going to be very, very good on special teams, and maybe he's just a guy that doesn't jump out to you when you check out the box score. But he does a little bit of everything, where he's a glue guy that every coach loves and the kind of guy that you need to win. And so he's been fun to watch up in camp. I hope some of that shows up in the game tomorrow, because great guy to interview. All the teammates love him. And if Mahomes likes you and Dave Tobe likes you, go ahead and buy a house in Kansas City.
Right. That's right. That's a good way to for some job security if you're a Kansas City Chief.
Well, Timmy, thank you so much for the time. Good luck to your match, and thank you so much for being there and being part of the celebration, because you've been such a big part of Sports Radio 810 WHB for its entirety. And next week, we'll be that much closer to talking about the regular season. That's Tim Grunhard. We'll be back to wrap things up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call, 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. We still got Frank Bolin there.
I'm here. I'm here, awake? Elvis. I'm
you,
here.
Were you, did you stay awake last night? Did they have to wake you up?
I cannot unsee you unbuttoning your shirt to your navel last night.
Do you want to?
No. I never want to see that again.
Why?
Okay, ever.
I can arrange
Serious.
It.
No, don't. Please. Thank you.
I do.
I do not. Oh. I won't be around for the next 100 years, so for the 200s. So I'm not going to worry about it too much.
There's a chance you will be.
Yeah. Not really.
If anybody's going to make it, it's going to be you.
It won't be me. Good job last night, Stephen. It was awesome, buddy. You guys did. And congratulations to you. That was so cool that Tom Watson gave you the ESPYs for your charitable work in town. Not only the stuff that you do, but the way you promote the station and all the events you go to. Stephen, both of you guys are out like 5 days a week doing other stuff that people have no idea.
You know what, though? We
just wanted to tell both of you congratulations.
Thank you for saying that, Frank. And Stephen brings this up a lot, and I do think that this is the most important part of that whole thing. We are incredibly lucky to work at a place that supports our interest in doing that.
Locally owned and operated, boys and girls. You never want to work for a corporation.
Yeah, because we don't ever have to worry about is Chad and the radio station going to support us in whatever it is. That's because, like, the causes Stephen talks about all the time are incredibly personal to him.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and
you too.
Yeah, and me too. You know, and so, like, I'll never forget the first time we ever did a Big Steps race. Mm-hmm. I went to Chad and said, "Hey, can we run a promo on the radio station to get people to sign up?" He said, "Absolutely,
sure.
No questions asked." And then the day of the race, he didn't say anything to me or anything like that. I'm watching everybody come across the finish line, and here comes Chad Boger.
Mm-hmm.
Running in the race, you know. So we're very, very lucky to be a part of this. This radio station really is incredible in the way it gives all of us the vehicle to try to, you know, promote and advance the causes of things we care about a lot.
You bet. I think it's great. You don't get to do that other places. No. So. You are blessed. You have no idea how blessed you are.
Yeah.
So there you are. But you do not take advantage of it. You put your heart and soul into everything you do. So it shows. So it was great. It was great last night, Stephen. You okay?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
He's going to be on heavy painkillers for the rest of the weekend, but that's all right. Jeez. That's all right.
I was worried about the bad back when we saw some shaking going on up on stage. I went,
it hurt so bad. And you know what? I could have done a lot more. I had a whole thing worked out before I hurt my back. I can, you know, the one thing I can do, I'm big, but I can dance. But I was all taped up. I had all the biofreeze, and I got a prescription from my wonderful doctor that helped me, and I said, okay, I just got to get through this.
Yeah,
and everything wore off about 2 hours into the show.
Yep.
Oh, there everything you go. Wore off, there and I go, was buddy. Like, oh boy, here we go. But you know what? It was great. It was fun because the crowd was into it, and it was look, you got to pinch yourself when you're able to. Like Nate said earlier, see some of your childhood heroes that are there and you know, they're in the audience and you're watching them get honored. You're watching them come up on stage and take part in the celebration. And let me tell you this, just on a personal note. Gary Pinkel is such an awesome guy.
He's a good man.
I talked to him for, I don't know, half an hour or so after the event. And I cannot tell you how much respect I have for him and what he's doing with his foundation now, and just how genuinely, I talked to him and his wife, Missy, for a long time, how genuinely moved they were and how excited they were and how thankful they were that he received a Lifetime Achievement Award, ESPY,
that we honored him. We honored him for his induction into the College Football Hall of Fame coming up. And you saw the Chase Daniel video.
Yeah.
And so for Chase to send that video, and you had T-Ruck and Tommy Saunders and Tony Temple up there. It's just, you know, look, that's always going to be something for me that will offer me some of the best memories that I have of my boys growing up. And also because, like, one of my first big gigs, you know, besides just doing shows, was going to Columbia and covering Gary Pinkel's press conference when they introduced him as the head coach. And I was down there, and I had to set up the equipment. And you want to talk about, I felt I was nervous last night. I was so freaking nervous because they trusted me to do this, to set this up, and we're going to carry it live. And then I got him on the air, and it was, you know, and that kind of made me, it was a big deal for me to be able to do that. And then the station trusted me to do that. And then his career kind of coincided with me making it in the radio, and my boys growing up, and us, you know, and them falling in love with Mizzou football, and my dad driving us to the SEC title game in Atlanta in an ice storm, and him cussing out everyone on the way, and it was awesome. And my boys laughing in the back seat at all the cuss words that my dad would say, like when I was a kid. But just all the trips down to Columbia with, and I remember that picture I showed you, and I didn't show it to Coach, I should have, Nate, when there was a Mizzou fan day one day, and Phil was like 3 years old, and he was going through a stage where he was giving everyone bunny ears and pictures. And we have this picture of me and Richie and Phil, and Phil, like 3 or 4 years old, is giving Coach Pinkel bunny ears behind him. And I have so many wonderful memories because of what he did to Mizzou football, because he made it a must-watch appointment for Mizzou fans. And he took them to 2 Cotton Bowls and won 2 Cotton Bowls and made it to 4 championship games and took them to number one. And both Mizzou and Kansas had to be great that year to make that game so special at Arrowhead Stadium. And so all those different memories, I was so thankful and happy that I could be part of a tribute to him last night and to see how touched he was by that. That's something I'm never going to forget. And I know you were sitting pretty close to him. Just what a great guy. A great football coach, but even more importantly, what a great guy.
Yeah, he's really a terrific guy. He's living his best life right now. I mean,
That's right.
He's so much more relaxed. I've often said this about a lot of guys. I'll tell you the other guy, this is a parallel, is Carl Pearson. Carl Pearson's a totally different guy than he was the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. He roasts me now, like the Willie Wolf roast and all the stuff. He takes shots at me. I love it.
I know. He's just so much more relaxed than, you know, out of that, I'm Carl Pearson. I'm the team. Yeah. I've got to get all this stuff done. Gary Pinkel, I'm a head football coach, Division I school, and I've got to do this stuff and do it right. Bill Snyder was the same way. Those guys are living their best lives, and they deserve it after doing what they did, what they achieved at their jobs.
But you get these windows when you're around great people like that as to what makes them great. And Gary Pinkel, as relaxed as he is now, is still very intense. And I mean, like, he sat there front and center the entire program, and that was a long program last night.
No kidding.
It was long. And a lot of people were kind of coming and going in and out of their seats. They'd go mingle a little bit with people.
Some people, they'd have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, then old people like you are in the bathroom constantly. At the end of the show, we're up there doing the auction, and Gary Pinkel's still sitting there front and center. He watched and listened to every word. And then I went up, and I just wanted to say, hey, Coach, congratulations and thanks. And I mean, he shakes my hand and looks me in the eye and said, you did a tremendous job tonight. And he does that in that Gary Pinkel voice where it's like, man, he's intense, you know? And you get that, like, that's why this guy was incredible at what he did, because he carried that with him.
I felt like I scored a touchdown. He comes up to me and he looks at me and, like, super intense. He goes, you know, Missy and I just saw that Elvis movie. Big Elvis fan. That might have been the best damn Elvis person I've ever seen. Great job. That was a great job. He's blowing smoke on that one.
Okay, he's blowing smoke on that one.
I'll kiss my ass.
No, dude, you were incredible, man.
You were great.
It was a great night, Stephen.
I just wanted you to show a little more chest hair. That's all.
Oh, yeah, good Lord, no.
Frank, I was just glad you stayed awake long enough to see it.
I did. I did. I went to sleep shortly after that.
Frank, I love you.
I'll leave your scarf. I love you. You know that.
Oh, you son of a gun.
I'll leave
Frank
your scarf.
Cole. That's Nate Bucati. That's Marco Marquez. I'm Stephen St. John. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you Monday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.